There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question, kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile, Thursday style, Little Friday, Friday Eve. It's a great one. Glad to have you here. I'm Sean. The phone and text hotline, 343-0106. In the mix today, Robert Kennedy Jr. going to talk to us. Also, Keith Johnston. And Keith is going to talk to us about a story. He's been on once or twice with me before, but I've been talking about this for a while. Like a little known, I don't know how little known... Maybe a not widely known situation in the state of Alabama where if you got solar panels on your house but you still take power from Alabama Power, you got to pay them for power you don't use. I know. Hey, we'll explain that coming up in just a little bit and dig into it. There's so many things in this half hour. I mean, I talk about the report that came out that finds the park police did not clear the racial injustice protesters from Lafayette Park for President Trump's visit to St. John's Church last June. It was actually a contractor installing a fence. But, you know, we're worried about facts now, right? Just add that to the list of things that are now discussed, looking in the rear view, that are okay to talk about. But back then it was not. So let's we've got we can talk more about the prison plan, what the governor is working with the legislature on. We got that in the mix. We've got a couple more stories here on now. Looks like, you know, Iran had a bad day last week, but looks like they're still coming. Looks like Iranian warships will enter the Atlantic. We could talk about that as well. But first, though, and this is just completely self-serving, and usually I'm not in the outrage business. I know there's a lot of people in conservative talk radio that's the shtick, right? The outrage. I guess I've been doing it so long. It's only on occasion that I really get PO'd on things. And sometimes I roll my eyes, I shake my head, but I kind of reserve this for special occasions. And this is coming off of, you heard me talking about this with Jeff a second ago. So the story is based around a post made by New York Times columnist Mara Gay, who said that seeing American flags next to Trump flags was a threatening message of white supremacy. Okay. And then they tackled this. As they do, they tackle the subjects with their panel there on The View. Okay, so I want to play a clip here. Here's a clip. And so you've got Whoopi Goldberg opening up the segment, right? Introducing the audio you'll hear, which is the audio from the New York Times columnist Mara Gay. And then they bring it back to the panel. Okay, so kind of a setup of what's happening here. Let's go ahead and let's roll the first part of this. So it is the intro here with Whoopi Goldberg, and then intros the clip. Here we go.
New York Times editorial board member Mara Gay is facing a backlash for recounting a recent trip to the suburbs that put things into a scary perspective for her. Take a look.
I was on Long Island this weekend visiting a really dear friend, and I was really disturbed. I saw, you know, dozens and dozens of pickup trucks with, explicatives against Joe Biden on the back of them, Trump flags, and some cases just dozens of American flags, which, you know, is also just disturbing because essentially the message was clear. It was, this is my country. This is not your country. I own this.
Okay. I'm going to interject a couple times here. I can't help it. Number one, the flyover country that is Long Island. She was in New York. She's on Long Island. And she sees this. Now, if you want to have a discussion of, you know, the flags that say some expletive, I guess a bunch of people have seen these, or bumper stickers, expletive, Biden. I have not seen them yet. you know, and I mean, we're here in Alabama and I've not seen them, but you want to talk about those. If that makes you feel uncomfortable, how do you think all the things that were put out for Trump supporters, right, that saw all the things, blank this and do that other thing and cut the head off President Trump and all those things, how they, although I don't think they felt that way, but I mean, you could play the same game and say it made them feel, you know, scared that they were going to get some reaction here. All right. The second part is, I'm in a gray world, and I will say, I can imagine as, you know, a black person, you see a Confederate flag, that comes with, if it's being flown that way and not, you know, it means something. But it doesn't mean the same thing as the American flag, does it? Well, they go on to discuss here.
So for many, the flag has been a symbol of freedom. Has it taken another meaning, Sonny?
Yes, it has. And I'm so surprised, actually.
And this is Sonny Hostin, one of the View panel there, who, by the way, I don't know how I've never known about Sonny Hostin before. She is, wow, gorgeous. But, yeah, so Sonny Hostin, they throw to her for comment on that.
That she is receiving this kind of backlash. And as Megan mentioned during the last segment, you know, when someone of color, a black woman, is telling you her feelings, people need to listen and not, you know, repudiate it and not say, well, that can't be true. Because you have, in many respects, the former disgraced, twice impeached, one-term president to thank for politicizing the American flag.
Speaking of politicizing.
Remember that on January 6th, just a few months ago, you had the Capitol rioters.
Okay, wait. When we get to this point here, I want you to get a notepad out, all right? A notepad out and jot notes on the number of flags that are discussed here.
Tearing down the flag and replacing it with the Trump flag. You had them waving the American flag and then beating police officers with that flag. That's what was going on just on January 6th. It is their country, not our country. I remember very well that there was a Confederate flag being tossed around, you know, flown around in the United States Capitol. I also remember very well recently when I was with my children in North Carolina in the Outer Banks with people in pickup trucks with Confederate flags flying alongside the U.S. flag.
Okay, let me take a second to say, when she talks about Confederate flags here, and I don't know, the pickup truck thing, you know, I think that's a northern view of us in the South, right? But the Confederate flag's one thing. But this is it's quickly, as she described what happened on January 6th, it's quickly making the American flag, in this case, synonymous with the Confederate flag or even the Trump flag. So, I mean, just see what's happening here, because it bears some sorting out.
And that scared me. And the same message was there. You don't belong here. We belong here. And I was afraid of that. And so, yes, when I drive into a neighborhood and it's not July 4th and I'm not in a predominantly military household neighborhood and there are flags, American flags everywhere alongside Trump flags, alongside flags with stars in a circle, I feel threatened because the message is very clear. It's a message of white supremacy. It's a message of racism. And it's a message of their country, not my country. And
okay. So this is a point where a bailout. So does Sonny have the right to express what she felt like? Sure, she does. And Mara Gay said what she felt. So you know what, Ed? I'm not repudiating anybody. I'm just offering some different and maybe a little more analytical view of this. I can't say what she feels. I'm not in her heart. But when Sonny Hostin goes in and says, yeah, you know, says these bad things and things he would, you know, that there's a Confederate flag being waved at her, I'm on Sonny's side. But then she said, and that's what the American flag means, too. When I go into a neighborhood and it's not 4th of July, or I call it Independence Day, it's not a military family neighborhood. I'm bothered when I see these American flags. Because she quickly tries to put in Trump flag there, but she started off by saying she goes into a neighborhood and sees American flags. It's okay if it's 4th of July. It's okay if it's a military family dominated neighborhood. Other than that, it's not okay. That the American flag, and I'm not going to let that happen, because the American flag represents all of us. All of us. Right? It's a symbol of our republic. And the idea that we're going to make it that if the flag that does ever fly at my house is the American flag. It's the one flag. And so if Sonny Hostin's going to ride down the road and see the American flag flying at the Sullivan house and feel threatened, first of all, it breaks my heart. Because she doesn't know who I am. She doesn't know who my family is. And number two, are we going to try to conflate the American flag as some sort of white supremacist or bigoted? It is a flag of our republic. It represents all of us. Now, I understand this is not a Senate subcommittee. This is a episode of The View. But this is being consumed by lots of people that would see this and go, uh-huh. All right, you're right. You can't just, I mean, you can say whatever the heck you want, and you can feel whatever you want, but I'm not going to pretend the emperor has a beautiful set of clothes on because he's naked. I'm not going to sit down and let you say, and the American flag too. The number of people that fly that flag at their homes, let alone our bravest warriors that have carried that flag, what that represents on the patches on military uniforms, what that means when we salute the flag, we pledge allegiance to the flag. That's for all of us. Flag is not for white people. That flag is not for black people. That flag is not for Latinos. It's not for Asians. It's for all of us who have all fought to hold up that flag. So I'm not going to, you know, talk about the other parts of this and what you feel like, and when you see the blank Biden stuff, fine, have that conversation. But I'm not going to sit here and just let some commentary roll that the American flag is some kind of bigoted item. And the last thing, and maybe it should be a mission for me to make sure that anybody out there that sees an American flag flying from my house and feels fear from that, feels some kind of threat from that, that I remedy that. You know, Jay says yes, and she mentioned Betsy Ross flag as well. Those are for all of us. Those aren't for one skin color. Those aren't for one thought ideal. And I will not let that be pried away and redirected and redefined. You know, we live in a world where you just redefine whatever. And if redefinitions are needed out there because something was not working or faulty, that's one thing. But if you're going to redefine the American flag, I'm going to push back. You push your way, I'm going to push my way, and we'll push back. But what I hope to do is to open some minds and some hearts out there and say, don't believe it. Don't believe it. Don't go riding down a road like Sonny Hostin and see American flags and feel threatened. Unless you're the Chinese, or the Russians, or the North Koreans, or the Iranians. But all of us have no reason to feel threat from that flag. All right, we'll come back. We'll grab some texts and calls here at 343-0106. 343-0106. It's Midday Mobile. Glad y'all are here. And yes, announcement coming. Something, one of the two cool. This is cool. You're going to love this.
Is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. 12:23. We'll get Dr. Bill's forecast update about 10 minutes from right now, plus announcement coming about the end of the hour, something brand new for FM Talk 106.5. And listen, a lot of great texts here, although I'm getting some grief from people talking about Chester says, hey, Miss Nancy, stop watching The View. It was, I went and found The View, I found that piece when I saw the news story pop up. But I got to tell you, while I disagree with her vehemently on this, I did not know Sonny Halston before. And my goodness, they've done themselves a favor on The View. I'll just leave it that way so I can get myself in trouble. All right, phone line 343-0106. And Damon is in Mobile. Up next. Hey, Damon.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Sorry, I'm in the Walmart. I didn't know it was going to be this quick to get on. But I wanted to comment on the flag. And a few months ago, the topic of the flag came up, and someone made the point that if you hung up a flag up outside a window and had 10 different people walk up to that window and look at the flag and then ask them what it meant to them, you'd have 10 different answers in most cases. Some might say liberty. Some might say strength. Some would say oppression. Some would say dominance or something like that. There'd be 10 different ideas of what that flag represented. But the point I wanted to make is that people need to be just as outraged when people use the flag as a backdrop for their divisive actions and speech. And I can see time and time again when somebody gets on TV and starts espousing ideals that are not American, but they have a flag hanging in the background, and sometimes gives it credibility because the flag's hanging in the back.
Okay, let's talk about that. So somebody uses the flag to represent whatever, and like you said, people have different opinions, but doesn't it... Yeah, and I would agree if somebody's using it in the wrong way. I would agree. I defend that greatly because that means all of us, Damon. That's what I don't want Sonny riding down the road and seeing the American flag in front of my house and making some assumption other than I'm an American. We're all Americans.
I totally agree. I agree. But for some people, the symbol itself means something stronger, and that's what, you know, it may not mean the same thing to everybody. It doesn't, for some people, it doesn't represent everybody. It doesn't represent all people. For some people, it means, you know, something else.
Well, you know, and talk about that when you would say, okay, so somebody who sees the American flag as a symbol of oppression, that would be if you looked at it like a history piece, wouldn't you? Because it's now 2021, and that flag still represents all of us with the tribulations we've gone through, the trials and mistakes this country's made, and the improvements this country's made. It still represents all of us.
It does, but the point of the matter is this. You can't discount the history that everyone has, you know, been affected by. It hasn't always been nice. It's been bad for people of all different races at different times. And for, you know, it's not going to change the fact that when people look at it, they're going to bring their own frame of reference to it, their own history to what the meaning is. So,
well, I'm going to work to change that. I'm going to work to change it. I can't say what the historical context, I agree, but what it means today, I'm going to work to change that. Anybody who, you know, I mean, I'm going to offer myself as a prophet here for the value of that flag.
It's the flag of this country, but the point is, just looking at it, if you had people look at it and ask them what it means to them, you're going to probably get a different answer for each person, just about.
Damon, as always, appreciate our conversations. Thanks, man.
Thanks.
All right. Damon checking in from Walmart. So Carl says here, there's a youth center in Foley that stopped flying the flag because it kept getting cut off the pole. I went out there to put it back up, but they finally decided it was too much trouble. My goodness, that makes me ill. This texter says, our family flies the flag proudly, but we also understand it's hard for many to feel patriotic when they've been oppressed within these United States. It's a hard reality that all Americans must understand. The United States has never represented freedom for millions of people. We all need to understand that our country's best days are ahead of us. Okay, so to that texter, unnamed texter, do we continue with that great history under the American flag? I think it means a lot. To say it's like it means, and I understand what Damon's saying, I can't put what's in people's minds and hearts, but I can be a prophet to tell them this is what it means. This is what it means to me. And when you see me flying it, what it means to me, I don't want to be told what I'm flying it because I believe X, Y, or Z. Fly because I'm American. Texter says, this idea that because there's some bad things that have happened in the past, therefore the whole system must be thrown out is crazy. I've had a flat tire before. I didn't throw the car away. Yeah, so Buford said, if Sonny Ryan's buying your house, she will assume you are a redneck Trumper racist because you live in the South and have an American flag. Well, Buford, I hope to be a good prophet, be a good messenger, and dispel that. Yeah, Sean said, it's the least offensive flag you could fly. Yeah, and most importantly, Sean, it is our flag, all of us. All of us. All right, coming back. Conversation that a lot of y'all may be familiar with this, but if you... So in the state of Alabama, if you've got solar panels on your house and you take power from Alabama Power, they're going to charge you for the power you don't take. Keith Johnson's going to join us next. We'll talk more about this and what's going on with a petition here to change the way it's done.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 1235 FM Talk 106.5 online, FMTalk1065.com, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. It'd be amazing to have some other announcement coming your way this hour that deals in that sphere. But it's coming. So we'll talk more about that here at the end of the hour. As I mentioned, this man's been on with me before. This is a subject I've talked about some years before I even got to talk to Keith Johnston the first time. Keith is the director of the Birmingham office of the Southern Environmental Law Center and joins us to talk about solar and the law. Hey, Keith.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing good.
Good to talk to you again.
Hey, good to talk to you. You wouldn't think that solar and legal would probably go into a discussion, but it actually does. Can we first of all set the people didn't listen to us last time or in the past, kind of talk about the situation for somebody that they got solar panels at the house, but yet they still are a customer of Alabama Power.
Yeah, and so if you're a customer of Alabama Power and you're in a certain rate class, family dwelling, and you buy some solar panels and you want to put them on your house, you're charged a fee just to have those solar panels on your house and to remain interconnected to the grid.
So they and people, I think last time asked questions after you gotten off the line. How do they know? I mean, do they you have to tell them or do they have to see it? Do they send you a note and say, "Oh, look, you got solar panels"?
When you interconnect to the grid, they will know that you have some sort of difference in your usage of electricity. And so there's a way to know. And it's also a safety factor. They need to know who's producing electricity and putting it back onto the grid.
Okay. So those people that fit that definition, they then are they are charged for energy. Get this correct. They're charged for energy they don't consume.
That's right. That's right. So they are charged just to have the privilege of putting solar on your roof. So you're an individual homeowner. You want to cut energy usage. You want to do it for energy security issues. You want to do it for security of the nation issues. You don't rely on fossil fuels. You want to do it for your own benefit, for the environment. Whatever it is, the power company charges you per kilowatt nameplate capacity of that system to put it on your roof. So, for example, if you have a 5-kilowatt system that you want to put on your roof, which is kind of average, they're going to be charging you $5.41 for each kilowatt nameplate capacity. So you're charged almost $27, $28 just to have that on your roof, plus you're charged your normal fixed rate, $14 or $15, plus you're charged whatever you use from the grid in your home. So essentially, it's a punitive, discriminatory charge for just trying to create your own electricity.
Yeah, and what about the selling? Are people here in Alabama trying to sell electricity produced back to Alabama Power from solar?
They are required, if you produce electricity and send it back into the grid, they are required to give you something for that product, for those electrons. And so they will pay you like 2 to 3 cents, but then they'll turn around and sell that, you know, to your neighbor or whomever for 10.5 cents or whatever the your rate is at that point.
I'm just trying to do some back of the envelope math here. How much I have to produce to meet the nut, that $27 nut each month.
Yeah, exactly. And really, the problem The problem is, you know, $27, that's a lot for a lot of people per month on your utilities in addition to everything else you're paying. But then if you extrapolate that over the year, you know, that's over $300 a year for a 5-kilowatt system. And then over the lifetime of the system, which may be 30 years or 25 years, it's like $9,000 to $10,000. Wow. So essentially what the utility is doing in a very sneaky way is clawing back any of the investment that you make for putting this rooftop system on your house. And it's a thinly disguised effort to discourage rooftop solar.
The arguments I've heard coming from the other side here is that they have to retain energy for you if you need it, right? That because you're not consuming it, and I may get, you're not consuming it, they have to, it's a cost to them to hold that energy for you if you should need it.
That's one of the arguments that they make, but our counter argument to that is, and what the federal law says, this is not just us, this is what the federal law says, you cannot discriminate based on how people choose to produce power. So if you're a qualifying facility, which a lot of these small power producers are, such as rooftop solar, if you're a qualifying facility, the utility can't discriminate against you because of the rate they're charging. So if you're in the class of family dwelling, which a majority of Alabama power rate payers are, 1.4 million, you know, or so folks are in that class, they can't discriminate against you if you decide to put that rooftop solar on your home and invest in that. That's what the federal law says.
So,
and if they choose to charge some rate, it has to be just, non-discriminatory, and in the public interest. And we don't believe that they have shown that this rate is that and meets that federal standard.
Well, there's the federal standard in what they say. Here at home, Alabama Power, as a utility regulated by the Public Service Commission and the PSC, right? They have the say-so.
That's correct. And so the Public Service Commission has the first swipe at, if you will, the utility when they choose to charge these rates to rate classes. Well, we challenge that at the Public Service Commission. The Public Service Commission sided with the utility, so we were forced to take this to the federal agency, which is the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, or FERC. And so we petitioned FERC that this charge was unjust, discriminatory, not in the public interest, against these ratepayers who choose to make this investment on their home.
So where are we now with this? I mean, what's the decision? What's the timeline on this?
So the timeline on this is we made this petition to FERC, and then FERC is the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, and that's just the acronym for it. So FERC typically does not act on enforcement petitions for a number of reasons, resources, a lot of different things that you would have to ask FERC about, but they normally don't act on petitions for enforcement, which is what this was. And so they've made a decision, and they issued a notice of intent not to act, which basically allows us to move forward with it. But they also, the commissioner of FERC, Commissioner Glick, and another commissioner, the chairman of FERC, Glick, and another commissioner issued a joint concurrence, which basically said that we have presented a very strong case that the Alabama Public Service Commission has failed to adhere to federal regulations and that they may be violating federal law. And it said it does not appear that they've met their standard that is required of federal law that these rates be just and reasonable and in the public interest.
And just joining us, talking to Director of the Southern Environmental Law Center, Keith Johnston, and talking about solar in Alabama. And this is, so I guess the threshold to be met here is they would have to prove that a regular the solar customers we're talking about, this regular household solar customers are different enough from other customers. They have some level of their difference, so therefore they could fall under this charge that other people don't get, right?
That's right. They would have to show, that's essentially right. They would have to show that you know, the demand and the load from these solar customers that they're having to serve is that much different from a regular customer. And what we argue is that, no, they first of all, they haven't done their methodology right, and they haven't based their analysis on actual meter data, which we know they have. If they want to get into a conversation of what a solar customer uses, let's get into that conversation. Let's look at what benefits they provide the grid. Let's look at when they are producing electricity at the hottest time of the day when the sun's beating down in Alabama and they're producing a bunch of electricity and it's going into the grid. Let's look at their net usage. Let's look at that load profile and really determine, okay, what is the value of these solar providers to the grid, and how does it affect, you know, overall usage? And that's what they haven't done, and that's what the FERC said they haven't done. They raised serious questions about it anyway.
Yeah, and Keith, people are asking this as well on the text line, that wouldn't, and you just kind of said it, that wouldn't they help with overloads of the system? As hotter it gets, the better this is going to work with solar. I mean, if we have issues of overtaxing the system, in this kind of a safety net.
100%. I mean, you look at when you have peak loads, and when you have peak loads and the utility has to serve those loads, they have to serve those loads through state law. They are required to. That's understandable. But you look at those peak loads, that's happening at the hottest time of the day, you know, in Mobile, in Birmingham, in Huntsville. We have a very hot state. We have a lot of sunshine in this state. You know, that's times when those solar panels are really producing. And so they do help decrease that load. And that's something that should be considered when you're looking at, are you going to charge these users an extra charge just to have this solar on the roof? And another thing that makes this charge discriminatory, and something else that FERC pointed out, the two commissioners pointed out in their joint concurrence, is basically they said, you know what, if you have an energy efficiency measure, say you make a big investment in your home for weatherization, you seal the windows, seal the doors, you get better insulation, you know, you're cutting your energy cost by mm-hmm. doing that. You're making that investment intentionally so your energy bills are not that high. Solar is the same thing. You're making an investment to generate your own electricity so your bill is not that high. But yet they choose to carve out these small power producers and penalize them with this charge. And that's just, we just do not think that is fair. And just to show you how effective that has been, in Alabama Power Territory, where this charge is imposed on people, we have maybe 200, and that's probably an overestimation, of folks with rooftop solar on their homes. You go next door to Georgia, which does not have this punitive charge, they've got thousands of residential customers who have this on their home. You go up to South Carolina, where the policies are even more favorable, or North Carolina, where the policies are even more favorable, you've got tens of thousands of folks who are making this investment. And it is really, it's a big deterrent in the state. And not only is the power company, the monopoly power company, you know, hurting individual residents, and this applies to churches and residents, small family dwellings, small businesses and churches, not only are they hurting those folks with this charge, but the solar industry, which is chomping at the bit to grow their business in the state, can't grow their business because of this charge. So they're discouraging small businesses. They're discouraging this industry in the state, where other states that are, you know, embracing this new technology, and this technology where costs are dropping precipitously, you know, they're creating a whole new industry, and yet we're not doing that here, and that's because of this draconian policy by the utility.
All right, so if somebody wants to get more information about this, or you know, get involved in this, where do you point them?
Please, you get in touch with the Southern Environmental Law Center. We have a website that you can find a lot of information about this. Our client in this matter is gasp. They have a lot of information about this on their website. There's another
that's GASP.
Group that advocates.
That's GASP. Is that GASP? Is GASP?
GASP, and they're in Birmingham. And then there's another group, Energy Alabama, that has a lot about this solar standby charge on their website. You can find out through both of those groups, through us, you can find out a lot of information about this and all the details.
So it seems to me that the difference here, I mean, you pointed out Georgia not having these fees. Both Southern companies active in both states, right? So they're under the same bigger umbrella, so it must just be specific to what the PSCs in those states say, right? So it's
that's absolutely right.
Okay.
So if the Public Service Commission, you know, they had the chance to do something about this fee, and they didn't. They sided with the utility. The Georgia Public Service Commission didn't. They didn't even bring it forward because there was such a pushback against it before they even got to that stage. The Georgia Power just dropped it. And that was another thing about this fee. I mean, this was brought to the Public Service Commission in 2012, in December of 2012, and by January of 2013, the commission had approved it, and it had gone through. And there was never any public hearing or anything else about the charge, so people didn't know. And, you know, it's been an incredibly effective tool that has completely squashed rooftop solar development in the state.
Keith, we appreciate your time and the update on this, and I have a feeling we'll talk again in the near future.
Yeah, sounds good. Thank you so much.
All right, Keith Johnston, director of the Birmingham office of the Southern Environmental Law Center, with us on Midday Mobile, and we're coming right back.
Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile on this Thursday. Glad to have you here. Little Friday Eve edition of the show. And coming up next hour, my buddy Robert Kennedy Jr. joins me. We'll talk, and we'll also talk about tonight, the return of Kennedy for Alabama, right here on FM Talk 106.5. And let me do this, because I've been dragging this out all hour, because that's what people do. We tease things, we drag it out all hour. But I've been really wanting to, as you can tell, I've almost messed up and announced this a couple times. But I haven't. I've been a good boy. I stayed with the embargo here. But the embargo has been lifted. And I want y'all to grab your smartphones there. And if you roll with Apple, go to iTunes. If you're a old Luddite like me and you're an Android user, you can go to Google Play. So pick either of those stores, right? But it's free, what's fixing to happen. But go to the store, and when you go there, so it's loading up now, right? I want you to search for FM Talk 106.5, okay? And do it just like I said. So FM Talk 106.5, Frank, Mike, Tango, Alpha, Lima, Kilo, the number 1, the number 0, the number 6, the number 5. So put that in there. Search for FM Talk 106.5, so in iTunes or Google Play. And when you see pops up the top item there, you'll see our logo. You want to download that. Free download. That is the FM Talk 106.5 app. That was worth a fanfare. So this is all the things we do online. And you know how I mentioned this melds in with FMTalk106.5.com, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all these platforms, all these places where you find the station, the 55 hours a week of live local programming in podcast form, the live streaming that you love, weather updates, traffic updates, they are all on the FM Talk 106.5 app. Once you put that on the phone, load that baby up, and then you can not only do those things that you're used to doing, right, that you know that, okay, well, I'll be able to listen to them online, I'll be able to get podcasts. Well, on top of that, you know what else you get to do? You get more ways to get in touch with the station. So the text line that's so very, very popular, there's an easy button there to text us there from your phone without even having to put it in a regular text. You can just hit that button. You can also, under some duress here, I don't know if it's the best decision, but I am excited about it. There's a button where you can, let me put a technical term in here, mash the button and leave a voicemail for us that will be delivered right here to the station. So maybe you don't want to text it out, you want to say it. You hit that button, it records you, sends us your message right here at the station. We can play it back on the air. Show schedules, all that, all the stuff you're used to. Messaging the studio, now calling the studio. Like if you just want to press one button to call 343-0106, that's there. You would check out what the latest on our Facebook, Twitter, Instagram is. You can just press one button there. Show schedules, who's on, what time, what show. Like you might be checking out, what shows have for a weekend or a weeknight. Just press one button to do that. Also, while you're there, you can go straight to our website if you want to. But our weather forecast, as it's updated 24/7, one button there. And a traffic, I love the traffic service here. Before you're getting ready to leave the office or go somewhere, you hit that, it'll show you where there's traffic issues out there as well. Plus, what I would love you to do is there's an alarm feature. Press one button, set your time for alarm, and you wake up to here in Dalton in the morning when you get up. So check it out. It is search FM Talk 1065. FM Talk 1065 on your iTunes or your Google Play. Download the app. I can't wait to talk about it with you. And we'll be reminding you a lot from here on out. It's pretty darn cool, and I want you to have it on your phone right now. All right, coming back. Hour number two of Midday Mobile. Y'all stay right there.